Matrix. I'm Jonathan, and I'm left of center.
And I'm Rich, and I tend to lean a little bit more to the right. But the bottom line is together we try to look for the balance of what it means to be human in today's world.
All right, let's get started. Welcome to Living in the Matrix. I'm Jonathan, and folks, Rich, unfortunately, is at the hospital with his wife, so please be thinking about him. They're trying to figure out what's wrong. So he's not going to be joining us today, but I've got Joey Labissiere. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you nailed it pretty good.
Wow. How would you say it?
Well, it's French. It's French. So it's okay. In French, it's Labissiere, but in English, it's
I took French 6 years.
So no, the way you said that, I was like, damn.
Yeah. So I took it. Labissiere. I had to learn everything in French for 6 years. It was, okay. I don't remember any of it. Anyway.
Yeah, that's fair.
So let me introduce you, because your bio was really interesting. Is you're a clinical hypnotherapist.
Yes.
And a guide and an activator. And yes. You help people embody self-worth mastery.
Yeah.
You are likely, like we were saying before, you are likely the most perfect candidate for what we do here on Living in the Matrix.
Incredible.
Yes. Welcome, brother.
I feel honored. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah. So I want to start with the grand idea of you focus on awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of work. So this is Living in the Matrix podcast. A big part of what we always dialogue around is this concept of a matrix as something that is a controlling mechanism, primarily around an illusion.
Right.
And that awakening is coming out of that illusion to one principal idea that you have dignity and value as a human being.
Yeah.
And it can be connected to a God or something, but it's that awakening part of me.
Mm-hmm.
Help me understand your understanding of that great awakening.
Yeah, I would say it's the dissolving of illusions that we've been programmed to think are real or important, I think it is coming home to the understanding, for me anyway, of we are source, we are creator, we are God expressed in human form. Mm-hmm. And we are these I got goosebumps just saying that.
It feels good to say though.
Yeah, it does feel good. And I'm even deeper in this relationship with God right now, where God for me was such a, like, I wouldn't even fucking say it, man. Like the word God or Jesus was just like, no, because I grew up in the Catholic Church.
Okay.
Communion confirmation. And I kind of had these weird experiences with the church where just nothing resonated. Mm-hmm. And I kind of went atheist in my teens and going in this. Yeah. And then, you know, Dark Night of the Soul kind of happens in my late 20s, early 30s. And I was like, oh, and that's when the awakening happened. I was like,
what was the principal element of your dark night? You don't have to go too deep into that. But what was that thing you were overcoming?
I think it was just all the things kind of coming to a head. And so that was what I didn't realize then was some abuse as a child. I had some pretty big trauma with some relationships, drinking a lot, like really partying since I've been 14, man. I've been like, that was my whole thing was like, I was the guy. I was like, if you want to party, call Joey up. He's in, like, he's doing it. So a lot of drinking. I was a correctional officer in a maximum security prison for a decade.
Wow.
So which one? In Stony Mountain Penitentiary in Manitoba, Canada.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, that was a heavy place to work, and near death experience, kind of car accident. And it just kind of, and I just got to this point where I remember I was 2 weeks anxious, depressed. I took time off work and I was pacing up and down my hallway of my home. I had a baby I had my son. He was maybe a year and a half, and I wasn't even able to like connect to him because I was so out of my body. And I was either sitting on the couch looking through the wall or pacing up and down. And a few things happened where I just kind of collapsed on the deck outside of my home. And I'm like, I'm done. Like, I'm done this, whatever this is. And then that car accident kind of happened. I woke up the next day just kind of like, oh, something needs to shift. But I realized I needed to look at how I was contributing to my own suffering. Mm-hmm. Like the parts of my life that I'm consciously choosing on a regular basis that is not in alignment with what I want. Mm-hmm. And so the drinking and the partying and the texting and the social media addiction, drugs, you name it. And I had to make this choice. And then that's kind of when it all started to shift for me.
When did that happen?
2016.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what was the primary thing that you think first shifted for you? Kind of what was that awakening to?
Yeah, it was, there was such so many little ones along the way, but I started to meditate. I started just meditating and I was like, okay, I'm going to try this stuff. And I kind of did it early in 2013, a little bit. I had just read, A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle in 2013 while I was traveling. And that was the kind of moment I was like, oh, wait, there's way more here. And so I at that collapse moment, I was like, I got to change some things. So I started meditating and I started to kind of get messages and start to feel into myself again.
Did you still feel like you were an atheist at that point?
No, I think by then I was already kind of like, but I didn't know what it was. I just.
Yeah, you were just like, there's something.
There's something.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt it. I've had it, you know.
The unnamed.
Of course.
You know, it's like, what is that? I don't know. Because every time I try and understand that, it's always wrong, you know?
Oh, yeah. 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 Our human little minds can't figure out, can't comprehend.
Well, I think that is that center point of a posture of just saying, fuck it, I don't know. That's what humility looks like, to say, I'm smart enough to know I'm not going to hold on to my own idiocy. You know, it's like, I want to let it go because there is something to discover, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man.
What did you discover?
Well, I'm going to say one moment. There's one moment after my daughter was born in 2016. I think it might've been 2017. I was still going through it at that time, 2017, January day in Canada, but it was like 5 degrees Celsius, beautiful day, bluebird sky, sun shining. And I'm still in this kind of heaviness. I grabbed my portable speaker. I wrapped my little girl, who was like maybe 3 months old at the time, in her stroller, and we go walking on the gravel road from just outside of my property, not even thinking of anything. I have Zen music playing, you know, Tibetan bowls and, you know, hand pan music. I'm just walking, and all of a sudden, and I call this my first real moment with God. It was a 7 to 10 minute time period, I would say, where everything completely stopped. And my awareness shifted to such a fine, it was like everything was under a microscope. Mm-hmm. I was walking around slow motion.
You were conscious.
Conscious, fully conscious. Mm-hmm. And it started to get stronger and I could feel my daughter and her presence. And I'm looking in the ditch and these long pieces, like long blades of grass are blowing, but I'm seeing every single one as if they're separate, but all connected. The snow is falling off the trees. Every sprinkle, every little dot in the sky is like, I'm connected to everything. Mm-hmm. If whatever I focused on, I could zoom right into it and feel it. And it was this moment of like, what is this? But there was no thought. It was pure presence at the, it was honestly to this day, one of the most magical experiences of my life. And I got to have it with my daughter.
And did that was she just another.
Oh, I guarantee it.
You know, she's only 3 months old. So she's
only 3 months old. Yeah. But I think she activated me in that moment. Like,
yeah, I feel that around my grandson. So my grandson is, he lives with us. Mm. And what I'm realizing is children, babies especially, have an energetic connection that is very open. Like here's my energy. We're having a good time. You know,
and that's her.
I can see a child at her age fully receiving that kind of experience. 100%. You know,
she just reminds me of a quick, sorry to come off topic a little bit. She was about 5 or 6. I was in the kitchen with her a couple years ago and I'm just looking at her and she's drawing and she's just in her element. And I just look at her and I'm like, Kelly, she's like, yeah, daddy. I said, I am so grateful and so lucky to be your daddy. And she looks at me and she goes, well, yeah, I picked you. And I'm like, what? She's like, I picked you. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'm intrigued now. I'm like, okay, this is good. I'm like, what do you mean you picked us? She's like, well, I was in the other world and I got to choose and I picked you. I said, interesting. I'm saying, which world? She said, the blue world. I said, oh, okay. And I said, then what? She's like, well, then I just jumped in the portal. I'm like, what? Like, blown away. Like, she said it so matter-of-factly, like, yeah, dad, like, come on, dude. Like, you should know this by now. Like, like, I was just, it was just silly to her that I didn't know this. And I'm like, whoa. So it completely blew my mind. And this, she's always been very much, like, you know, sometimes they look at you and they look through you. Like, she does this randomly, looks into my eyes and just stares at me. I'm like, what are you doing? But yeah, they're amazing. They're amazing.
So at that point,
yep.
What did you do with that experience? Like, because I understand that I've had many of those experiences, but especially on psychedelics, that's when they yep. become very yeah. prominent. But they don't go away when you're not on psychedelics. You realize, oh, it's a consciousness of
yeah.
there is presence. I do belong. I am welcome here. Because I think that's what most people are really wrestling with internally.
Yep.
Is, do I belong?
Right.
And did you feel that?
Yeah. I mean, I felt like I was, honestly, I was at the verge of like ending it a couple times. Like I didn't have a plan, but I was completely like, I didn't think I'd make 30 years old. Like I was just like, screw this, man. Like,
were you bored or just hurting?
I think just hurting and not knowing where the story was coming from, like how deep the hurt was. Mm-hmm. Like I would look at I'm like, oh yeah, it'll, you know, maybe look back at my childhood. And I'm like, I had a pretty normal childhood. Nah, not really. I mean, we always normalize stuff as we're older. It's like, no big deal. And you compare trauma, you compare, oh, I didn't have it as bad as this person. But yeah, I think I was just tired, man. Tired of playing so many roles mm-hmm. to be loved. Tired of being this guy for that group because they like that version of me. Tired of being that group for this person because I would just chameleon into whatever I needed to just be, tell me I'm enough. Show me I'm enough. Am I enough now?
Well, I think that's what I found a lot of liberation when I realized I was part of Source. Like it's a very different yeah. experience. Like I grew up an evangelical Christian
yeah.
and so I was like a child of God, but it wasn't a felt experience. It was an intellectual experience. And I never realized, yeah. oh, it can actually. And so I searched for that felt experience for most of my right. young life.
Right.
But I realized is when I got to a point that, no, I'm part of that source. There is no yeah. separation. Like this That's is right. what Rich and I talk about on our podcast yeah. a lot is
so good.
Is there is me or who I think I am. And then there's my version of God. And that distance
yes.
yes. is in, to me, that's sin. That's probably the simplest word is this is the error we make that we're separated.
Yeah.
And my job is to close that gap. And yeah. Rich and I had this conversation is where is the distinction between you and God? And I said, there is none. We are actually one of the same. And that changed everything for me.
Yeah.
Seeing that I was part of Source. It doesn't change anything that Jesus does in the story nope. for people who nope. are Christians. But it magnified. He goes, well, Jesus said, I am. So why can't I say I am? Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. what Rich and I have been talking about is being part of Source fundamentally changes because you realize now I can take this avatar that I've created and
yeah.
begin dismantling it.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm talking about?
Totally, man.
Yeah. Like, what happened for you in that regard? What had to dismantle?
This idea that I wasn't enough. And I think this is something a lot of us deal with, yeah. but yeah. I had such a personality or persona of like confidence and mm-hmm. this and that, that nobody would have thought that Joey didn't think he wasn't enough, but I had to slowly start breaking that down. And that all started with, so the meditation helped, but I had this, I was working a 16-hour shift at the jail one night. My wife called me. She's like, hey, she's like, you got to see this guy. His name's Adrian Wesley, and he's a hypnotherapist. And we were doing multi-level marketing stuff at the time. We just we were like looking at online stuff, and the group we had him talking. And he was talking about trauma. He was talking about, you know, his mom had committed suicide. I think he was 10. and the grief and the guilt that he carried. And I got home from the 16-hour shift and I was just in this video and I was like, this is where the first intuitive pull that I ever really felt after my awakening, that was so undeniable. I was like, you know, God speaking through me going, hey, listen, focus. I'm like, yep, I got it. And I watched the video. He talked about trauma, releasing that and his relationship. I can't remember what else, but I remember Mel looking at me. She's like, you should work with him. I'm like, nope, I'm going to go do this. She's like, what? I had no idea about subconscious. I had no idea about trauma. I had no idea about hypnotherapy. None of it. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I don't know. I have no answers. I don't know, but I got to follow this. Message him the next day on Messenger. Where'd you go to school? Thanks so much for your thing. Find out where the school is. Call Jen Dodds, who is the person who's running the school for me. Had a quick talk. I'm like, I don't know what it is, but there's something pulling me towards learning what this modality. I don't know why. Tell me a little bit about the school. Is there a spiritual connection to this? I'm like, okay, good. I need that. Click. 2 weeks later, I took all my holiday time, all my loo time, all my bank time at work. Went for the like 6 weeks straight. Flew across the country. I'm going to study hypnotherapy. What's that?
You felt it.
Oh, it was immediately like, yeah. Do not waver from this pull. And I knew it was like, okay, I'm going. It was like a pull. Like I had no choice.
Yeah.
And it made no sense to my mind or anybody in my life. You know, what do you mean you're going to study hypnotherapy? I'm like, yeah, don't worry about it. And did that. And what I didn't realize during that time is that all the work we would do on each other. And this is where we access the unconscious. This is what ayahuasca does. This is what mushrooms do. It allows us to go into the depths of where we're hiding all this pain. And I healed so much in that month that I came out of like, holy shit. I can't wrap my head around this, but I'm like, this relationship, that thing was healed. That thing was moved. And then it just creates space, right? Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of evolved from there. I ended up going to Guatemala. And yeah, there's a ton of other stuff we can go over. But that's where the major healing started for me.
Well, for our listeners, describe an ayahuasca experience. You shared that you've done one. What was it like?
So I sat for 3 nights straight and drank ayahuasca. I would explain it as this.
Did you do three ceremonies or
three
one
ceremonies?
Long? Okay, got it.
Three ceremonies, yeah. Back to back to back. And it was supposed to be four, but my body was so tired. Mm-hmm. I would explain my ayahuasca journey as what this medicine does really well. And I think with any healing, whether it's through hypnosis, whether it's with the plants, whether it's with a guide, a shaman, whatever, you first need to see who you are not in order to see who you are. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times the medicine for me brought up all these beliefs and things and the demons. The demons is unconscious thoughts, beliefs, systems, energy around trauma. Yep. And it brings it to the surface for you to purge. Because you've heard of people throwing up on ayahuasca. Well, that's because we're bringing the unconscious demons, if you will, the unconscious pain, wounding, and through it, you're purging it out of the body. You're like kind of like a somatic experience of people doing somatic work. You're purging it through different ways. And this is through the throwing up. And so I would have something come up and I could, and if I would just feel it in the body, because it's all about staying conscious and not letting your mind take you, right? Like any psychedelic experience, you let the mind take you, it can take you on for a ride.
Yeah.
So the trauma would come up in my awareness, then I would feel it in the body. And they kind of teach you, the shamans teach you to kind of pull it from the depths. Mm-hmm. So the more you focus on the sensation in the body, the more you can stay with it. And it usually just kind of rumbles in the stomach and then you purge it. Some of it was beautiful. Some of it was extremely challenging. But in my opinion.
Are you afraid?
Yeah.
In the vomiting part, are you feeling fear? Are you feeling release? What are you feeling?
The vomiting part was some of the most beautiful for me, to be honest. Nice.
Interesting. I've never heard that.
The scary part for me is when I allow myself to go unconscious. Mm-hmm. When I'd let the demons take me for rides and tell me I'm this, you're that, you're this, you're that. And I'm like, no, this is not who I am. But it's because, and that's when they teach you, stay with the breath, stay in your body, stay in your body, follow the medicine. And so often after the purge and the work that needed to be done, you would hear her. She'd talk to you and she's like, you're not done yet. We got more. You can do this. And I'm like, geez, how are we having this conversation?
Is that Mama Aya or was that your guide?
Mama Aya.
Yeah. You can hear her voice.
You can hear her and she'll speak. She speaks through you for sure. And I remember this one time I was working on my abuse and then I would work and I could hear her. How deep can you go? Now that you're here, you're in it. How much can you do? Not only for me, for my dad, for my grandfather, for the collective. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, okay, I'm being called into service here. It was just wild. And I was like, okay. And I remember being in the bucket, throwing up. And I'm like, let's go. Bring me in. Like I'm here. Let's go. And I would, it's like, but you're pulling out layers and these, you're going into the roots of your ancestry. And then it would be like, it would expand.
Could you see your ancestry? What's the experience? Is it are you physically feeling it or are you seeing it in your head?
I would kind of be, it would kind of come through me as like, almost like a channeling. Like it'd be like, okay, here's where you're guided first, my abuse. And I remember, okay, I'll focus on the abuse and that, and I would throw up. And then it'd be like, oh, there's more layers or it's rooted to deeper stuff with dad. And I'd see my dad or feel that it was my dad's stuff and go into my dad's stuff. And then it'd be like layers into my grandfather. I'm like, oh, I'm like, let's just follow this. And then it felt, I'm claircognizant. So it's more of a knowing than it is a visual for me.
Okay. No, I understand. It's almost like coherence. It's not a feeling and it's not a visual. It's something, it's like awareness.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then I could hear her, you have more, like go. And she'd push you. And your body just wants to throw up the white flag. It's like, I'm done. She's like, no, you're not. I'm like, like you're just.
Fuck yes, I am.
An hour and a half of throwing up, dude. I'm like, come on. And I'm in there. And she's like, how many layers can you go? I'm like, you know what? I'm here. And I almost felt like I was in the biggest soccer game, football game, hockey game of my career. And I was like, bring it. I got this. I'll carry the team. And it felt like I was releasing collective trauma. Not even just my generational line, not just my family. Like I was volunteering to say, okay, let's clear this density. Let's clear this darkness. Let's just get it out. And then I remember that at the end of that night, just falling back in my bed and hearing her saying, you did a good job. You did great. And that's enough for now. And I was just like, oh, okay. And just collapsing in this bliss, like body's completely wrecked. And just being like, wow, I got to do that. Like I was called to do that and I did it. I kicked ass. Like it was wild. Yeah.
Would you do it again?
After night three and I was leaving, I'm like, I'm never doing that again. Then, but like my first experience with Aya, I never went because it was cool. I never went because I wanted to. I was called.
Yeah, you felt led there.
I was called. Mm-hmm. And I'll do the same again. If I'm called again, which I know she's coming around, I could hear the whispers already, then I will go. But I'm not forcing it. I'm not jumping in just to say, oh, I want a quick fix for my life. No. Yeah.
So, Joey, I want to switch gears a little bit with you because I want to dive into the idea of hypnotherapy. We've had a gentleman named Mark Dawes, who's a hypnotherapist out of New Zealand, and I got to interview him. And he gave me a lot of perspective, but I would love to hear yours because you were drawn to it, like literally drawn to it, and you dove headfirst in. Yeah. But help unpack for our listeners what hypnotherapy really is, because you have a grounded approach, it seems like.
Yeah, my approach has shifted so much. I think with any type of this work, whether you're a psychotherapist even or a shaman or any, like I it's become such a spiritual practice for me. Mm-hmm. It's less clinical now than it was. It's less by the book now than it was.
Anytime you touch the inside of a person, it's almost pastoral. It's like it's
incredible.
Cause you realize there's a lot of responsibility. You have to be very, very careful with people. Yes.
100%.
Yeah.
And I've developed my own style. And to be honest, unless they have a big emotional charge that they're coming with, like anxiety attacks or big, like big emotions, we'll follow right. that. That's really easy. That's a pretty basic thing in hypnotherapy. You know, work up, get the energy moving and follow the route, follow the nerve to the original root cause, which is using an emotional slide technique or, you know, very basic stuff with hypnosis. But there's times where things just don't want to move. And I learned that if you ask the higher self or ask the soul, 99.999% of the time we go exactly where we need to go.
But well, the body wants to tell you.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
And there, but there's a sense of, I mean, obviously letting go that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. A sense of like, they need to trust the shit out of me. I need to make sure that I have the safest space in the world for these people. Mm-hmm. Some of these people know it never had a safe space.
Right.
But once that's established and the ball starts to roll, it happens fast. And what we're doing is we're just going, where I'm asking the soul, where's the resistance? Where's the distortion? Because our souls are so perfect. Mm-hmm. There's distortion within it, not allowing our souls to be fully expressed, trauma, conditioning, whatever, you name it. And so I just ask, and it's really beautiful what happens. It's like, oh, well, go to childhood, might go into the womb. Like really, might go into the womb, might go into past lives. And some people don't believe in past lives, but those can be metaphors, you know, and it all really just unfolds. So hypnosis is this way of just accessing this deeper layer of the subconscious. It allows us to kind of disconnect that analytical mind and trust the inner guidance.
Well, so here's what I'm thinking, what a lot of people are probably, like my wife did a comedy routine with a guy who hypnotized her. And I think a lot of people have sort of that version.
Yeah.
Help us shift over a little bit to the more therapeutic approach.
Yeah.
And what people are going to ask is, are you going to control me?
Yeah. Can yeah. No. Yeah. So that's one thing, is one of the biggest misconceptions about hypnosis is that I'm going to go in and start playing into your mind and picking right. things out. You're never going to go where you're not ready to go. I'm never in control. They are always in control. And that's something we discuss in the beginning. It's going, hey, if you don't feel comfortable, we'll get out of there. We're not going to go there. But it's not like this stage show where you're making people quack like ducks, bark like dogs, jump around, do flips, blah, blah, blah. The people that go on stage, these people are already called highly suggestible people. Like they're willing to go do this show. They want to go on the show and do these things. So there's already an opening happening. That's why when you see hypnotists on stage, they'll start with 30 and it'll be 20 and it'll be 7 and they'll end up with 7 because they know, and I don't do stage hypnosis. I don't even know exactly what it is, but how to do it. But they're like, okay, here's the 7 most suggestible people who are open and willing to have fun with this. And that's what makes them do these things. Hypnotherapy with us and me, there also has to be a willing to go into the pain and go into the darkness.
Yeah.
And so we'll discuss, what are we working on today? Well, I feel this really big grief. I'm like, all right, are you willing to do this? You ready to go in here? I'm like, yeah. And so already there's this softening that happens. But there's no me going and picking out stuff or being like, give me your darkest, dirty secrets right now. No, you're always there. And most people are fully conscious as we're in the subconscious mind. We're having a conversation. Your eyes are closed. You're a little bit more relaxed. You're on your chair, you know, and well, we're just.
A lot of people don't realize is that when you're in hypnotherapy, you're giving yourself permission to look into the subconscious.
That's it.
And that's, it's not boogeyman, it's yourself. It's just being willing to take, and all the subconscious is your scripts. It's the scripts you coded yourself with.
Yes.
And some of them are broken. That's it. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. And you said it really great. It's like, you're giving yourself permission to go in your subconscious so you can heal. Right. There's no magic button for Joey or wand. I'm just really good at getting you there and going deeper and feeling into if there's more layers and kind of tuning into my intuitive gifts, I would say, and my connection to that realm. But you do it. You're going in. You're looking at this stuff. You're seeing sometimes the insanity of your story. And your subconscious doesn't care if you're living a good life or bad life. It doesn't care if it's bad or good or doesn't painful or not. It just wants to stay the same. It knows your program. That's the program we've been running for 30 years. And that's what we're going to hold on to.
Right.
So that's why there's resistance a lot of the time to change. Mm-hmm. But, you know, something from, I think it was A Course in Miracles that says that the ego does two things very well. And it's deny the truth of love mm-hmm. and see all healing as a threat. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to change. The identity of who you are is not going to be the same after this healing. What does that look like? Fear of no control. That's what the ego wants. But yet we are going into more expansive, more expression, more love. And the subconscious or the ego doesn't care. It wants to stay the same. That's why so many people stay in, you know, abusive relationships and their lives never change. It's because the conditioning, the programming underneath the surface doesn't support what they actually want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you started with the idea that, you know, I am part of source. And I've been in a yeah. conversation with myself about that for about the last year and a half. And Rich and I have talked about that. But, and I realize I'm not Jonathan. Jonathan was a name given to me.
Sure.
And that idea of letting go of that old identity, I said, I don't have to be any different. I don't have to be any different. I just have to let go of my own preconceived notions. And I found that what does everybody want is freedom.
Yeah.
And I think that's what that avatar does, is create those buffers that protect yeah. you. And so what has been your relationship the more you, I said, with Joey?
Yeah. Gosh, so many versions of Joey have died and been reborn and everything else. I was just telling a friend, like, you want to see how far you've come? Just look at your Facebook memories. You know, I just had one pop up the other day and some, can't remember what I wrote. And I'm like, geez, I wrote that? Like, oh my gosh, like that's painful to even read. My relationship has grown so much. And honestly, in this last even 2 weeks, I feel so at peace with who I am, because I know that I'm this beacon, this light, and I know that God and source, if I allow it, works through me. Mm-hmm. And I'm yeah. not I'm not my mistakes. I'm not my shortcomings. I'm not my past, and I'm not my future. I'm just here. I'm in a big surrender. I'm very grounded right now. I feel very good about how he's working through me. And, but that was not all the always the case, as you know, as well, but I don't know if that answered your question. I kind of went maybe off.
So what drew you, or I say you were felt drawn to hypnotherapy. How did that unfold for you in terms of taking that on as something you wanted to do?
So I was working at the
going yeah. from oh, yeah. the prison to that oh, yeah. kind of, that's a big difference.
Oh dude, I never understood why I even ended up in that job. But now that I do what I do, it makes perfect sense. Because some of the best guides, healers, coaches have gone into the darkest stuff. They needed to see the darkest caves in order to shine the brightest light. And I realized working in a prison for 10 years, other than a war zone, I don't know if there's a heavier energy. I don't know if there's a darker energy than a prison, other than going to war, which I, thank goodness, have never experienced. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I needed to feel the darkest stuff. I needed to be around the people who had the deepest pain, you know? And I'm like, it makes total sense. And so I went and did my training, came out of it, and I was just so gung-ho. I was like, I'm going to do this on the side. I'm going to help everybody. And I'm going to just show them the power of this. And that was met with so much resistance. I mean, so many friends call me crazy, call me this, because I got into the spiritual, like meditation, and mm-hmm. and I started part time, and I had no real following on Instagram or anything like that. It was just local, but I started to help some people, and I started to realize, like, oh, okay, I'm actually really good at this, and it started to evolve. And March 2020, so 2 years after, almost 2 years to the day after I got my certificate and doing it part time, COVID kind of did the thing. March 2020, everybody's in chaos. I have one of the most steady jobs in the planet. I got a six-figure salary. Canadian federal government pays pretty good for that. Six-figure salary, benefits. I'm 10 years in, got 15 years left, full pension. And I'm like, I am out. And people are like, you're nuts. Like, what are you thinking? You're going to, and I packed my family. We moved from Manitoba to British Columbia. And I just knew that was another pull of intuition. You can't stay here. You've got what you needed. You helped where you needed to help. Now you need to shift and take that leap. And that was by far the scariest leap of faith I've ever taken, especially in a world that seemed to be collapsing. all around us.
Did it coincide with COVID, or did COVID precipitate it?
No, it had nothing to do with it. It's like, it's almost like COVID made no difference to me.
Okay.
It was time.
Yeah.
It was a 6 months process, basically saying like, I'm quitting. And with the government, we could have taken, I could have taken a year off and had my job back.
Yeah.
And that was an option. And I could hear it. If you do that, you'll go back. It'll be too safe. It'll be too easy to go back to the comfort of your six-figure salary and everything mm-hmm. else. And you won't do what you really are meant to do. And so I just quit. And I was asked like three different times, are you sure? I'm like, I'm done. And it had nothing to do with COVID at all, but it just made things a little bit more intense that I was letting this go. This, you know, what my parents said, I had it made. Yeah, you got it all. You got two kids, you got a six-figure job, you got a house, all these nice things. And I was like, I can't do this.
It's not always the essence of life.
No. And so I was able
especially as a breadwinner. It's like,
right.
If we do those kind of, and I've done a few of those, and it's like, what are you doing?
Oh yeah. And I went 3 months. So my wife at the time was working still. Uh-huh. And it was 3 months of me, not really other than part-time clients, one or two a week. And I was like, oh my gosh. I remember calling a buddy and saying, hey, if I wanted to come back to work, like, is it possible? They're like, no, you quit. You'd have to go through training again, start at the bottom, your salary, everything. And I'm like, okay, that's not an option. 3 months of being
what do you think home, you would have done if it had been an option?
I think that it was just, it was more of a fear energy I was in, kind of going, oh geez, did I do the wrong thing? I don't think I would have ended up doing it anyway, but it closed the door very quickly. I'm like, okay, next. And then I came into June 2020, and that's when I started going on social media and sharing stuff on TikTok. And honestly, that's when everything, God was like, here, there's an abundance of people waiting to work with you that you can help. And I went from, you know, making, you know, my first full year, I more than made over, you know, what I was making with the government.
Wow.
Doing what I love. Yeah, it was crazy. Like, honestly, it's still wild to me that it all happened the way it did.
Let me ask you something. Going back to the idea of the matrix, mm-hmm. I want to kind of assume that you think something is shifting globally, but if you do, what is that? What do you think is happening?
Yeah, I mean, we can go down the rabbit hole of conspiracies. I've been down that hole a few times.
I'm totally comfortable with conspiracy as long as it's grounded. Like in semi-reality, it's like I can believe possibility, but
yeah,
we're also a human race.
Yes.
And I think that's the human side I want you to speak to.
Yeah, yeah. I just think we are seeing the collapse of a system that isn't working.
It's collapsing.
Yes. Oh yeah. There's no way or other way around it. And I think because it's collapsing, like the subconscious, you're seeing all that fear from the unconscious coming up and saying, no, we need to hold on to this.
Right.
And so I think it's a war of, not a war, a battle of consciousness right now that we're in, is we are evolving as a human, as a species in a lot of beautiful ways. And that scares a lot of people who are stuck in the old. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I don't know, but there is a massive shift happening. You're seeing more people do the work going within, whether that's in their religion or through other spiritual means. And that is, to me, is the biggest sign. I'm like, oh, we're not just going, you did this, you did that, even though there's a lot of that still mm-hmm. happening. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are going, okay, how do I heal what I'm seeing within myself? Because what I'm seeing out here is alive in me, right? All the stuff I'm seeing that I don't like, guess what? It triggers me because that is also alive in me. And until we do that, then our protests come from a place of love. Then our action comes from a place of true alignment. But until then, and we're seeing that, I think we're on the brink of something pretty big. I don't know if it's years away or decades away or if we're just on it or in it. But
let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question in terms of something I think you just said is,
yeah,
it's always codependent until you love yourself.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do.
Said? Yeah, because when you said it, I was like, holy shit, that's blowing my mind.
Well, it's true. Everything we see.
Everything is codependent until you love yourself. Yes. Because then it can't come from a place of love. Yes. That's brilliant.
Yeah dude. Like we I have these talks a lot with friends, and it's like, you know, there's so much rage about this and that and this and that. I'm like, you are seeing that because you're meant to look within yourself.
You're looking outside.
Of course. And it's hard. It's hard to see these atrocities and these things happening. 100%. I don't have answers for it, but until we do this work and come back home and get grounded again, we're going to see a lot of this. The contrast is so palpable right now because there's that big shift. Yeah. So, and a friend asked me, he's like, you think all this darkness that we're seeing, and it's like more darkness. I'm like, no, I think the equal amounts of light are on this planet at the same time. We're just not looking for it. A lot of people are doing magical work, beautiful work for humanity and shifts and changes and in the environment. But we don't really see that. The matrix, as you say, loves to just pump, you know, the negative and the dark and this versus that and you versus them and blue versus red and you name all the other stuff.
It was divided.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. It's an easy way to, it's tried and proven, right? We've seen it across history.
Your video today that you had, I ate it up. It was about worthy. And when you discover you're worthy, life starts getting a lot easier. That just hit me so much over the last couple of years is when you go in, do the work.
Yeah.
And then you don't have those same triggers. Cause when you do the work, you take care of the triggers.
Yep.
And you can go through life. And I realize how much of, wow, I don't have a lot of bullshit to deal with. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me about your experience, because you work with a lot of people who are going through this to heal.
Yeah.
And what's the value of that? And share the value of that, because I think that's what keeps people from wanting to do it.
Yeah, I think the value is it happens quickly. But there are layers to the healing. But three big belief systems that get broken down really quickly is that you're separate. Like you talked about that.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, the illusion that you're not loved or lovable, you're not enough the way you are, and you're not worthy of your dreams or what you're being pulled to do.
Yeah.
Once those three core belief systems are broken down and you bring awareness to the unconsciousness of it, you create that space. That's where all the charge in the body gets released. And you're like, oh, okay, wait, so that isn't real. Mm-hmm. And that's where your consciousness rises and expands. And you just start to see the whole game of life completely different.
Yeah.
So you're not your wounds. You're not your trauma. You're not what happened to you. You're not your fucking story. Mm-hmm. We are stuck in a story.
And you're not a bad person because it was
an
illusion.
Yeah. You know,
it's like most people are afraid if they let the illusion out, they're going to die. It's like, no, you're going to live a much better life because it is an illusion.
Well, the illusion keeps you trapped. Yeah, that's ego versus the higher self, right? It's the soul versus the ego. Ego is always rooted in fear and losing something. And the higher self is always, you're literally all of this and loved so deeply, you know? And that's why I tell people say, oh, how do I know what my thoughts are, where they're coming from? Is it love or is it fear?
Yeah.
Is it love or is it fear? Okay, the thought was light and it was supportive and it made me, okay, guess what? That's higher self. Is it, oh no, this is going to break down. I'm going to be this, or my kids are going to be screwed up. That's ego. It's like, that's such a simple way. And what I really love is listen to the body. When you have a thought or many, how does your body react? Does it give you tense up? Does it make you feel this? Ego every time, or wound. Does your body respond as like, ooh, excitement, chills, lightness?
Positive and negative. Yeah.
It's the body always gives you feedback.
Right. And let me tangent a little bit here, because I think this is really important, is men tend to live in their mind, not their body.
Yep.
How do you help men? Well, we have a lot of listeners who are men. How do you help men specifically get into their body? Because sometimes it's not easy.
Breath work's huge for men. I think that's a really easy way back. And it's not meditation. It's breath work. It's a little bit more of a grit to it. And I think guys really like that. breath work's really important, but teaching guys how to meditate too, and showing them it's not this mystical thing that you have to be in some Buddhist robe on a cushion. You can do it anywhere. But once
you, I had a thought, let me ask you a question. I had a thought today as I was sitting outside and I was doing breath work, and all of a sudden I realized whenever I'm focused on my breath, I'm not focused on my bullshit. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is it's extremely practical. You learn to train your mind not to focus on the bullshit through breath work. And all you're doing is focusing on the breath. It's like you said, it's not mystical.
No.
And it's extremely practical.
100%. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. It's like going to the gym. The guys listening, like, you'll go to the gym, you'll bench press, you'll squat, you'll do all those things. Guess what? You're present doing that, aren't you? Mm-hmm. You're not in your mind. A lot of people say gym's therapy. Because why? Because you're present. You're just doing what you're doing and you're not up here. It has nothing to do with the gym or the weights. It's just a way to be present. Meditation's the same. Just being with the breath is the same. Mm-hmm. And so the more you can come back into the moment, the less you're in the future or the depression of the past. Anxiety's future, depression's past. Or the responsibilities. The world's a little wild right now. We got a lot on our shoulders. Men have a lot on their shoulders. And we carry everything. Mm-hmm. We don't have to carry all this stuff. Drop it. Come into your body. Take the breath.
Yeah.
Go squat.
Feel your body. Start feeling. I think that's the thing I was going back to, is to learn when you get into your body, you can start feeling love. And if you can't get into your body, you cannot feel love. You can think you're loved, but you can't feel love. And love becomes the validator.
Yeah.
So most people don't realize that is you can think something all day long, but unless you feel it in your body will never be satisfied. And that's how you create satisfaction, is you have to listen to your body.
Yeah.
And dropping in is hard. It's hard at first.
So yeah, squatting.
Thank you. It's hard at first. And that's what I want to help people get over that hump.
Yeah. And dude, it just takes one time for the click to happen. You know that, right? You have that one moment. It might be 4 seconds of a breathwork session. You're like, ooh, that was different. I can do this.
Yeah.
And it's like anything. You're going to go to the gym. You're not going to squat 350 pounds on your first day. You're going to do the bar. You're going to get the movement down. You're going to throw maybe a plate on each side, then get that movement down. You get stronger. Same thing with meditation, or same thing with breathwork. It's just presence and consciousness coming. And your thoughts are going to come, and you come right back to it.
Yeah.
It's not hard. It's just hard at the beginning, like anything.
What's your favorite part of hypnotherapy?
Watching the transformation happen now.
Okay.
Watching them connect the dots.
Share one story without revealing any ID. Share one story that has kind of giving you the reality. This is exactly where you're supposed to be.
Oh, there's so many. I'm just trying to think. I'm scattered right now. I think some of the most, it's not one, it's a couple, but it's in a small
encapsulation.
Capsule. Yeah. I deal with a lot of sexual, molestation abuse. Being in this space, you don't realize like how much of that is prominent and how many people have gone through that. But to see someone go into that, not reliving it, but revisiting it with a new consciousness, because that's what happens, is like, you're bringing a new awareness of today to that younger version. And you get to change the story with your younger self. Time doesn't exist in that moment. And when your younger self sees you coming to rescue him, the whole energy, the story changes. It goes from powerless to, I got you. Look, holy shit. Okay. I'm not alone. And that younger self, it clicks. You see it happen. And then because it's like,
there is no such thing as time.
The ego loves time.
Right. Exactly. That's how it keeps us separated from the trauma, is it says, oh, there's this time thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I heard something really cool the other day. The only reason the ego made time is because it stops from everything from happening at once.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, all right. So time's kind of beautiful, but it also doesn't exist. So you can literally heal now.
Right.
All these pieces. And what I love about it is like, you get to bring your little self at 8 years old back, arm around him, give him a noogie, tell him how much he's loved, tell him how beautiful he is, how freaking worthy he is. And there's nobody that knows your younger self more than you. Mm-hmm. So he's going to believe you more than any therapist, any person that's going to tell you this or that, it's you that needs to show up for you every single time. And so seeing that happen and the tears flow and the ease and the pressure just be released and see the story change, that's the stuff right there.
That's what makes it worthwhile. My mom was a sexual abuse counselor and she taught me a lot and told me stories. And you just, I think that's the thing that I'm hopeful for as a larger group of people really beginning to do the soul work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that we're releasing a shit ton of karma. And what people don't realize is when you release the karma, good things happen. Like really good things. And that's why I'm extremely positive about where we're going, because I think what's going to happen is love is going to win. So, and it's going to, like, we're all going to realize let's work together rather than against each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. And it starts here and then expands to your family and then expands to your community and then your province or state. And it has no choice but to ripple out. But if we stop going here first and started going here first, it's like you can't fight that against that. Like the war on drugs never worked. The war on war never worked.
It never worked.
No, you need to focus on what you're creating, what you want to see shift versus fighting what you don't love. Very cool.
So how do people find you?
Instagram, Joey Labossier. It's a mouthful, but you can find me. YouTube, TikTok, same thing as Joy Labossier 2 on TikTok, though. I was banned on there. Not sure why, but.
When I was looking in your Instagram, in your tree link, you had something that caught my attention is Conquering the Imposter Masterclass.
Yeah.
Give me a 1 to 2 minute summary, because that's provocative. I like that idea.
Yeah. I think everybody who steps into themselves and want to, they do the healing, they realize they are so much more. But as they get into that so much more, or follow a calling or a pull or a purpose, they often meet that imposter, that one saying, who the heck are you to do this? Why would anybody listen to you? Why would anybody want to work with you? That's that imposter syndrome. But it's just a limiting belief, really, that comes up. But those need to be healed. Those need to be taken care of. Because if that's rooted in some really deep stuff or heavy stuff, it's going to nip at your heels the whole way. But it's an illusion as well. That's an illusion. It's something you were taught or something happened to you for you to think that you are not enough again.
Exactly. Yeah. We always try and find people who are trying to elevate people. And Joey, I love your stuff. And who's on Instagram, are you on any other platforms? Do you do YouTube?
Yeah. Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok of right now.
So, because his stuff is fantastic. It's really incredibly inspiring. You and I are soul brothers because we have the same energy and we say the same stuff all the time. That's what drew me to you. So thank you for being our guest, dude. This was one of my favorite. I've said that so many times, it's been a pleasure knowing you, brother. Thank you for joining us.
An absolute honor to be on here and to connect with you and your following and your audience. So thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So to all of our listeners, thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend. Please subscribe and review. Send us your guests. We would love to connect with people that you're interested in hearing from. And to Rich, hope everything's okay. Much love, everyone.